This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Thanks to the girls from the Wet Spot talking about gender binaries tonight. That was quite interesting. We have a bit of gender ternary going on in this studio occasionally, and we've got a good show tonight. We were going to actually talk about the value of joy to the LGBTI community, but we're going to save that up and talk about it on Radiothon week, because that'll be a good Radiothon program. And both our Joy guests, one board member and one presenter, were unavoidably detained for other reasons tonight, so we'll save them up. And if you want to hear them, you better send us a text on 0427 joy949 or SMS, or email us on onair@joy.org.au so that we can embarrass them severely into coming on when they said they would. And and I'm joined in the studio tonight with Claire. Hello, Claire.
Hey, Jim.
You are a regular now, aren't you?
I'm getting that way.
And James, who's panelling again.
I am.
He's an old hand at it now. And Steph is here, who's actually, it's her night off, but
I'm here because
I'm addicted.
I'm so dedicated.
You're an optical illusion.
There's a difference between addicted and dedicated, and I think that it's actually addicted.
Happy to be here, Jim.
I'm very pleased to see that you are here.
You're going
to
hear a lot of my voice tonight because I'm here in the studio and
doing pre-record.
I spoke to a couple of excellent people a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to Missy O'Donoghue, who is a senior lecturer at the University of Canberra. I talked to her all about homework, and also Georgie Swan about a new program she's running called $20 Boss, which is all about getting little kids, quite little 12-year-olds, to run their own businesses.
So we're actually catching up on all the work we've done over the past little while, in particular around Youth Week. And our guests will be joining us from the land of the pre-record.
Yeah, so if we're being totally honest, we had so much content from Youth Week that it had to overflow it into a new show. So you get more youth tonight, which is good because we like young people.
Feels like being on the Steph show tonight.
Hey, here's my show.
The Empire of Steph.
So now we have an interview. This is part one with Misty O'Donoghue from the University of Canberra. It's 4 minutes past 10.
So I was interested in your article in The Conversation, Homework, What's the Point of It?, which suggests that for many students, homework does more harm than good. So I guess my question is, why do teachers set homework if it's not helpful?
I think teachers set homework because it's something that they've always done. So when they were students at school, they were given homework, and their teachers were given homework. I think it's just done because nobody's ever bothered to question why it's done. There's a lot of things that happen in education that are like that, and homework's one of them. There's a kind of a logic around it. It's like, well, you know, surely if they go home and practice or do more of what we've done in class, then it will be better for them. But when we actually research it, we don't find that to be the case.
And I guess something else that comes to mind for me is that it's going to be easier for some students than others. So students who they're meant to be helping out with their family business or looking after little brothers and sisters, it's going to be harder. Are there, I guess, other ways where particular groups are disadvantaged above others?
Definitely. Look, anybody who hasn't got a parent at home that has the same values as the teacher in the classroom, the same knowledge as the teacher in the classroom, the same language as the teacher in the classroom, will be disadvantaged. If your home life is even a little different from your school life, then you'll be disadvantaged by being given homework because your home life simply can't replicate what's happening in the classroom. And that happens even when you least expect it. So, for example, my children have me at home, so I could potentially be helping my kids with their homework, but I'm away with work a lot, and my husband is a second language speaker. So not only does he not have English as his first language, but he's never been in an Australian school, so his schooling was all in Greece. And the way school is done in Greece is very different from how school is done here in Australia. So not only does he have a language barrier, but he has a whole kind of cultural understanding of how school works barrier. And he can't help my kids with their homework. So that's just one unexpected example of how you disadvantage kids when you send them home with homework that you expect a parent to be able to help with. Think of any parent who doesn't have English as their first language, who didn't maybe finish school, who perhaps it's been a long time since they've been at school and they can't really remember, they can't remember how quadratic equations work, or they can't remember about improper fractions. There are lots of, if something is worth being taught, then it should be taught in the classroom. It shouldn't be up to parents to be doing that teaching.
And I guess even parents who did go to school in Australia, the way that particular subjects are taught might be different now to when they were at school, or the style of the teacher might have been different to the teachers that they had as well?
Definitely. I think you'll hear many many parents saying, I don't understand how they do maths today. It's nothing like when I did maths. And it's true. The way we teach children things changes with each generation. And it doesn't just change willy-nilly. It changes on the basis of research. We find out better ways to teach children, and that's enacted in classrooms. It's unreasonable to think that parents would be keeping up with those changes. How would they be keeping up with those changes? And then it's just very confusing for the children, who get taught one way at school and then a different way at home. So at school, they no longer teach carrying over. You know, when you're doing your addition and subtraction, where you borrow and carry and pay back, which is how I learnt to do those kinds of mathematical equations when I was at school. And that's not how it's done at school now. And so if you've got one way being taught in the classroom during the day, and then mum and dad trying to teach you this kind of borrow payback system in the evening, you just leave a child who was obviously already having some struggles struggling even more.
So is there a way for teachers to set the kind of homework that's not so culturally dependent? Is that something that's happening?
I see teachers try very hard to make homework something that doesn't widen a gap in the classroom. So many teachers understand that if you send children home to do work, that in fact what will happen is that children who are struggling will fall even further behind. And so they want to set homework, but they want it not to impact upon classwork, which makes me wonder why you would bother doing it. But anyway, they make that effort, and so they do things like have little grids of things to do with your family, you know, help mum and dad with the washing, or go out and play a game in the backyard, or those kinds of things. But I have to say that I think to myself, you know, kids are perfectly capable of filling in their own time when they get home from school, and parents are very capable of figuring out how to spend quality time with their kids. I don't think they need a teacher to give them a grid of how to spend their day, how to spend their afternoons with their kids.
Well, Steph, what did you think about that discussion with Misty Anden?
I thought it was excellent journalism, best interviewer I've ever heard.
The interviewer was terrific, wasn't she?
I forgot to mention, I should have said this earlier, but the reason we're talking about homework as well is because, so last year, the Victorian Parliament did a parliamentary inquiry into approaches to homework in Victorian schools. So this was tabled in Parliament in August last year. And so the government has 6 months to make a response to the recommendations put forward by the Parliament. Of course, this is now the new government responding to the previous government, and 6 months expired last week. So we're expecting the response any day now. I thought it might be super topical and we'd find out today.
Do we think that they're going to actually approach this issue of, I think the most interesting thing that Misty Anden talked about was the different infrastructures that people have at home. So if you don't have a desk and a desk lamp and a chair and a quiet place to do your homework, you're immediately totally disadvantaged as a student.
One thing she talks about in her article, which was in the conversation last year, is the example of, say you have, it was a true story. So you had a high school student who had just arrived as an asylum seeker, and his teacher gave him a activity that was something like, make Stonehenge out of a cake, something like this, which the teacher probably thought was fun, engaging, you get to learn about Stonehenge. But for this young person who lived with his uncle, didn't have much money, he didn't have a cake tin, didn't have ingredients to make cake at home, and then that's quite a large proportion of the family budget going towards something that's probably not that necessary.
Let them eat cake.
Can I raise another issue? Just as an aside, we were going to speak to someone who we couldn't get in today about the fact that Joy has gone live throughout the world streaming, and it might be interesting if there's anyone listening in other countries to contrast how their homework systems work over there.
Do they use homework in the same way that we do?
Yeah.
I think we use homework to make kids conform.
If there's anyone in other countries or other places who'd like to comment, onair@joy.org.au, please drop us an email. We'd really be interested to hear.
Or 61427JOY949.
You can SMS on that number.
That was very international of us, wasn't it?
Very international.
Yes, so Joy is streaming everywhere in the world. It's very exciting. We also know we have listeners in Sydney. Jeffrey, one of our regular listeners. Hello, Jeffrey, if you're listening in Sydney. We love hearing from you. And Scotty, our other favourite listener. If you want to become a favourite listener, it's really easy. You just have to message us, 0427JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au. Tell us what you think about homework. Everyone has either done it or hasn't. Almost, this is the interesting thing.
Or refuse to allow their children to do it.
Yeah.
Most people don't like it. This is from my short, brief poll that I've done. Most people don't like it but still think kids should do it because they did.
Yeah, and people have different attitudes. Some people have that rigid regime. Other people have, you know, that do as much as you like. It's really varied, isn't it?
Well, it seems to be this interesting thing where parents think that teachers want to set it and teachers think that parents want to set it, but they're secretly just pretending and no one really likes it except really nerdy kids like me. I was quite a nerdy kid at school, so I quite enjoyed homework.
Mm. I suppose that's the comments she was mentioning, that it can make in kids that are really good, well, that haven't got something in the classroom, fall further behind.
Mm.
That was something that I found really interesting.
So we're going to be continuing part two after this short break.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Is there a difference between kids of different ages? So it sounds like the examples, those ones are more primary school. Mm. What about for older students?
Well, the research tells us that actually whatever homework you give kids in primary school, it won't make any difference to their educational outcomes. So primary school teachers may as well just ditch homework altogether. The research says that in secondary school, homework can make a difference to educational outcomes for the kids in the classroom. But that just puts a spotlight on the inequities related to homework, because it's the parents who sit at home and help their kids with their high school homework that make the difference to the educational outcome for that child. So that's unfair if there are children who go home and don't have a parent to sit and do their homework with them. So the fact that homework increases slightly educational outcomes in secondary school is really a matter for concern, given that the increase in outcomes is a result of the parenting that happens in the home and not because of the goodwill of the parent, simply because the parent has time and capacity and knowledge and skill and sometimes even money to sit home or pay someone else to do that kind of tutoring with the child.
What about older students where I guess it's a bit more self-led, so something like practicing vocabulary for a language or working on a design folio or that kind of thing? At what age can you sort of say, all right, students, it's up to you to now direct your own learning and set your own homework?
That is the interesting thing, because in the end, that's what we want, self-directed learners. And paradoxically, setting homework appears to build non-self-directed learners, because in those kids who have this homework expectation and a parent sitting there making them do their homework and a teacher at school waiting to see that homework handed in, ultimately become less self-directed in the classroom. So they're more likely to ask a teacher to wait for a teacher to assign them a task. So we need to think of ways that we have kids self-directed and self-engaged in their learning. And homework apparently just doesn't do that. So there's got to be other ways, and I think the other ways are give them work that's engaging. So have them work in the school during school time on work that's engaging. And when a child or a student or a teenager finds something engaging, they'll pursue it. They really will. There's something wonderful about the human brain that really all teachers can celebrate in, that the human brain wants to learn. So when it's engaged in something and finds something intriguing and they're curious about it, they will go and seek out more information about it. I think most of the homework that gets given out is assuming that they don't have any self-direction and just says, here, do this and hand it in, and then do this and then hand it in. And that doesn't encourage self-direction and engagement.
So would a better model be, I guess, to set the end goals for the student and for them to manage their own time? Is that challenging for, does that disadvantage students who, I guess, don't have that same work ethic?
I think any child, any student actually has a work ethic. So I don't think there's any such thing as a lazy child, and I'm sure there'll be listeners who'll be aghast to hear that, because it's, you know, we all think we've got this child who's just too lazy to do their work. I know they're capable, but they're too lazy. But my observation is that they're not lazy. They tend to disengage from things that they see no purpose for. And in all honesty, when I look, for example, at my children's homework and I see them disengaged and not wishing to do it, I look at the homework and I clearly see why. I also, as an adult, wouldn't be bothered doing it. So I think the key is to make sure that they are engaged in the tasks so that they find them interesting and purposeful. That doesn't mean that that they only follow what they're interested in, because, in fact, kids can have really narrow interests. I think it's up to teachers to help kids understand the broader world beyond their immediate interests. And it's not that hard to do. It's not that hard to push kids a little bit beyond their narrow interest into something that's a little more wider that they hadn't considered before. So I've said before, and look, there'll be teachers who will agree with me. They're amazing little minds in those brains that come, in those heads that come into our classrooms. From primary school through to high school, those brains are ready and willing to learn. That's what they're built for learning. And oftentimes school just sets up tasks that that are not about learning. They're simply about repeating a task that somebody's given you to do, for which you cannot see the purpose. And really, when push comes to shove, it's hard to see the purpose of a lot of the tasks that kids are given.
Yeah, and kids are pretty savvy. They know what's, I guess, authentic and what's not real from a very young age, yeah.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes, listeners, you are on Joy 94.9, and it is true, this program does have a podcast, and you can find it by going to joy.org.au and clicking on the podcast link, or clicking on our program page, is nothing sacred, and you'll find the podcast, and you'll find a recent podcast that we did that has been tweeted and retweeted quite a lot. It was a program we did with Elaine Pearson from Human Rights Watch. She's the National Director of Human Rights Watch in Australia, and we talked to her at great length about asylum seekers and the way in which the Australian government has been policy confronting that, or not confronting it, as the case may be. And that has been tweeted and retweeted all over the world, because obviously it's a topical issue with what's going on in Europe at the moment, where last weekend 5,500 refugees, who they don't even call refugees and they don't call them illegals or anything either, they call them migrants,
yeah,
were picked up off the north coast of Libya by the Italian Navy and taken to Italy.
I found it a great irony that that's where humanity, the cradle of humanity, began and started its exodus throughout the world, and now they're being stuffed back in.
Well, they're still exodusing out of Africa, aren't they?
They certainly are, and they have every right to.
So we've been talking to Misty Andenou about homework. And Steph, you said you were a little nerd at school.
I was such a nerd at school. I liked homework just because I liked...
Did you have a desk?
At home?
Yeah.
I did have a desk, but I used to do my homework on the floor.
Did you have a desk lamp?
Yeah, I had a desk lamp.
Did you have a map of the world?
Yes, I had a map of the world. Nerd Central. I was surrounded by X-Files posters.
Yeah, the full switch.
And did you have an atlas?
I think I have an atlas. I've come back round to the atlas. I spend quite a lot of time looking at atlases because you just look at it and you're like, oh, think of all those places I haven't been yet. It's quite inspiring, really.
It is good, isn't it? I like atlases too. In fact, the other day I bought myself a globe.
So you can spin it and decide where to go next.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Evil.
Like Dr. Evil.
That's it.
Which place are you going to take over, Jim?
The Empire of Jim.
The Empire of Jim. You're going to buy your own island or something.
Yep. Secede from wherever.
That might cost you $1 million, Jim.
With any luck.
So, yes, we have been talking about homework. And until I started talking to Misty and others, I had no idea how controversial this was. I thought homework was just one of those things that most people didn't have much of an opinion about, but no.
No, it's there to make you conform, and it made you conform. Look at you.
I'm so conformist.
You are.
No.
As for
me. Have you seen, I have a shaved patch. That's not conformist.
You're a lesbian who wears a dress.
Does that make me conformist or non-conformist?
How conformist does that make you? That makes you conflicted, surely.
It's actually non-conformist in lesbian communities. No, actually, it's a conformist now. Oh, I'm confused.
I don't own any cats. That's not conformist.
You don't have a rescue cat. I've got two. You can come around and pat them
so
whenever you like.
Yet again, you're more of a lesbian than me. You can tell listeners, though, Jim, what I had for dinner. That's pretty gay.
Oh, she had lentils or something.
I
horrible.
Had organic silken tofu salad.
Yes, oh, I thought there was the only thing more lesbian than that was lentils.
And who had lentils for dinner, Jim?
I did.
I think I know who wins here, though. I ate kale and I have three cats. Right?
You're winning. Uh-huh. Most lesbian of all. If
and
you
you're
think,
wearing tracky pants.
And Connie's.
If you think you're more lesbian than Claire, Jim, or I, or James. James is scoring quite low in the lesbian stakes. What
I
makes
had a
you...
lamb ragout. I don't know what that is.
Not, that's yeah. not at all lesbian.
Lamb ragout is definitely not lesbian.
A boy who loves his meat.
Yeah. Well, that's a surprise. Sorry.
So if you think you can outdo us, SMS 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. You've got a few minutes, so we're playing the final part of the interview I did the other week with Misty Adoniyu, who is a senior lecturer at the University of Canberra. So now that we, I suppose, know all this, and I was interested as well in reading that homework was banned in France a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Is that what you would advocate for?
I certainly with my pre-service teachers, I say I don't see the point of it. I haven't seen any evidence that tells us that there's a good point behind homework. I understand it in secondary schools that that's an almost impossible battle to win. So much of the coursework grade is given over to homework tasks. So I can't see it changing anytime soon in high schools. But I see many primary schools listen to the research and say, well, we don't see the point of homework. And there are increasing numbers of primary schools that don't give out homework. And when I wrote that article, it was really interesting because there was a lot of response to that article. And I'd say 50% from teachers and 50% from parents. And teachers were saying to me, I'm so glad you wrote that article. Look, the only reason I give homework is because parents ask for it. And the parents were writing to me and saying, oh, I'm so glad you wrote that article. I hate the homework that comes home. So there's obviously some kind of communication problem happening. Teachers saying, I don't want to give homework, but parents want it. And parents saying, oh, gosh, I wish they would stop sending this pointless homework home.
And perhaps if they got together and had a chat about what the expectations were, it might help.
Well, it sounds like a bit of a cultural thing as well, as you said at the beginning, because I suppose in preparation, for talking to you today, I sent a Facebook message to 5 or 6 of my friends who are teachers and said, what do you think about homework? And the first couple of people all prefaced their responses with, you know, I know this is unconventional, or I know this might make me unpopular, but I actually think it's like it's not that useful. Yeah. And so they were all, even from different schools, like cautious about voicing their opposition to homework on the assumption that everyone else in the group was going to say how good it was.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Even people who are teachers, they might not be talking to their colleagues, and it might be that, yeah, as you say, everyone thinks a similar thing, but are too afraid to speak up for whatever reason.
Look, from a teacher's point of view, I can't see any benefit for homework except for and this is a negative benefit, the power that it gives the teacher over their students. But apart from that, I can't see any benefit for homework at all. You have to put effort into putting it together. And you can clearly see from most of the homework that goes home that teachers think, oh, this is not worth putting effort into.
What about, I guess, trying to cover all of the curriculum? Is that part of it, that if they want to spend the class time for doing discussions or things that are more dynamic, and then it's about ticking the boxes outside class? Is that an argument?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the notion of the flipped classroom. Have you heard that? That's kind of the rage for the last couple of years.
Where homework's used for preparation rather than follow-up, is that right?
Yeah. When the notion of the flipped classroom first came out, I was quite enthusiastic to pursue it with my university students, because I figured, oh, they're of an age where this could really be, you know, could really work. You know, how about you do all the prep, you know, watch this little YouTube video, read this little clip, and then come in and we'll spend our time talking. But even at undergraduate level at university, they don't do it. So I'm curious to know just how effective that kind of idea is in high school. I like the idea of it, but I haven't seen it work well in practice yet.
Mm. I think that there's a Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry into Homework, that the report was put out last year, and that's something that they talk about quite a lot. So maybe the Victorian government will be interested in investigating the flipped system a bit more.
Yeah. It'll come down, once again, to the same kind of thing, though people will engage in the preparatory stuff if it's engaging. But if it's just this another kind of, oh, I've put this together in order for us to do this talk that is nothing to do with that anything that you're particularly interested in, or I haven't set it up so that you understand the purpose of it, if it still doesn't have that big kind of purposeful context around it, then it will suffer the same consequence. You know, I think a worksheet as homework is boring as what a YouTube video before class could be. You know, they could be equally boring and purposeless and therefore not engaged in. So it's not necessarily the structure of the before or after. I think it's going to be the quality of the before or after.
That's certainly given us a lot of food for thought. Thank you so much for talking to us.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is Nothing Sacred. And Steph, what did you think about homework, really, after listening to Misty Andonu?
I think I'm sold. So what she...
You're sold on homework?
No. I think I'm sold on the case of homework abolition. So what the evidence seems to say, and from talking to a couple of people, is that it's not that useful in primary school. Kids should just be kids in primary school. It's potentially mildly useful in early high school.
I'm more sold on the notion in high school that it should be used as a research tool to prepare kids for the next day's class.
Well, that's the thing. And I also interviewed a teacher on the same topic, and she was saying that it's less about the actual revision sometimes. For some classes it is, but for others it's more about just getting into the habit of, you know, being disciplined, learning those study skills.
I suppose there is still the issue of, you know, learning your vocab and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
So reinforcing the learnings of the day before, which you do actually have to do.
Important. because she makes a good point. So this teacher I spoke to is a French teacher, and she said for some kids, so the year sevens, she has once a week on a Wednesday. So if they don't do any homework, then they're only ever speaking once a week on a Wednesday, nothing in between, and they forget all the vocab between classes. So something like that, it is useful compared to other activities where you're just kind of filling time.
You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred? And we've been listening to a discussion on homework, and as you can see, we're not all that enamoured of it.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
What? Let's set some homework for our listeners, shall we? Listeners, we're planning our next lot of shows, and we'd like to know what you'd like to hear us talk about, or what you'd like to hear other people talk about to us.
Yeah,
so there are a few topics that we've got in mind, like the federal budget. Who wants to hear about the federal budget?
Me.
Who wants to hear about the Irish marriage equality vote?
Me.
And whether it's got any interest to Australians?
I think it does.
You only say that because you're half Irish.
No, I'm really interested in the fact that it was such a conservative country. Hopefully some of my friends in Ireland are listening tonight. Hi. You know who you are. And it's interesting that, you know, it was such a Catholic and conservative country, and they have managed to pass, well, they're hopefully pass. They're getting pretty close to it.
Well, according to the opinion polls, they're well on the way.
Exactly.
So what's wrong just here? Go to our Facebook page, and which is facebook.com/ Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and leave us a message saying I'd like to hear about this or that.
Or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au now if you want to.
Yeah, right, this very instant, especially if you're in Ireland or New York or Ohio or Sydney or Brisbane or any of those places where we've had people listening to us from before. Mm-hmm. And
we now have another interview, which I pre-recorded a couple of weeks ago.
Another thing from the land of pre-records.
Another thing from the land of pre-records, and another thing from the land of schools. So this is an interview I did with Georgie Swan, who is running a new program called $20 Boss, which is all about getting young kids, pretty little 12-year-olds, to run their own businesses.
To become capitalists.
For $20. Tell us about $20 Boss.
So $20 Boss is an entrepreneurship program for secondary school students in Australia. It is run through schools. So we have developed a curriculum that teachers can pick up and deliver in their classrooms and teach young people about enterprising skills. We also give every participating student $20 to actually create the business and then run it for 1 month to see how they go as a young entrepreneur.
So how young are we talking?
So the program is open to secondary school students of any age, but our general take-up is around years 7 to 10. So it's primarily aimed at the younger years of secondary school.
So we're talking about some pretty young kids, so kind of 12, 13, 14. What kind of ideas have they come up with so far?
We see a pretty diverse range of ideas from young people, which is really awesome and part of the program and what we want to see. There's no limit to the creativity that they can use in this program. It's not themed. It's not based on any specific topic. So we ran a pilot last year with about 10 schools across Victoria and saw many of the young people's businesses are food related, which is unsurprising because they understand their own market as such. And in their schools, the young people love some forms of different food. So that was one of the things. But then we also saw some really creative young people coming up with ideas for upcycling. So going down to their local op shops and purchasing some T-shirts, tie-dyeing them and reselling them really successfully. So boundless in their creativity.
So as someone who is quite a lot older than 12 years old, I find the idea of starting a business quite daunting. is this part of what you're trying to do with the program, that having something that's low risk, it's only $20, but showing kids you can do this to try to get them into business later? Is that part of the idea?
Absolutely. That's kind of like the whole premise of the program. It's a low risk opportunity for young people to actually give something a go at a young age and start to develop some real enterprising skills that they can use going forward in their own careers if they so choose, whether it be as an entrepreneur or within established businesses. These enterprising skills that they can start to practice at a young age is really valuable. And $20 is an amount of money that is tangible to young people, and also it's low risk for them. If they lose it, they can actually probably try within 1 month to make that back through changing up their business a bit. So it's building that resilience if they do fail, but they can build back up and have another go.
So if they totally bomb out, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
Compared to real life, when if you bomb out, it's potentially a little bit harder.
It can be a little bit different. One of the lessons in the program is around financial literacy. Mm. That's one of our sort of main focuses of the program. So we do encourage young people to pay the money back at the end. Mm. That's a real financial literacy lesson in that we're supported by a bank in Australia, and that money coming back is actually the real world part of this program. So it is funded by a real bank, and then you really have to pay it back like you would in business. So there is that lesson in there as well.
And I guess I've been hearing in businesses, particularly like where they're focused on innovation, this idea of fail fast, fail early. I guess, yeah, to make the mistakes early on so that then they can learn from that. So you said they've got a month to make their business work or not work. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. So the curriculum can be delivered in school over as long or shorter time as teachers would like to deliver it. It's 6 modules of content before the program. And then we encourage schools to give students 1 month to actually run the business, because that gives them that chance, as you said, to fail quickly, fail cheaply, as we also like to say, and fail fast, and then have another go. So say they'll run a little market stall on a Saturday and then maybe way overcharge for their product and go, next week, maybe we should rethink our pricing strategy to try and really build this business up.
So at the end of that month, then what happens?
Yeah, so the end of the month, it's up to the young people what they do with their businesses. So any profits they make, we encourage them to consider donating that to local charity organisations, or keeping that within their school to benefit the other students within the school. But part of entrepreneurship is having agency over what you do. So some kids may want to keep that money for themselves, and we think that's great too. And then we will have an awards program at the end to recognise students from across Australia in both state-based awards and national awards for the most entrepreneurial young people we can see out there.
So if there's anyone who's listening who's maybe a teacher or a parent or a student, how can they find out more?
Yeah, fantastic. So we encourage all teachers, parents and students to jump onto our website and check it out. There's 2 ways to register. So if you're a teacher or a school, you can literally register your school straight away. But if you're a student or a parent who would like your school or your child's school to be involved, you can nominate that school, and then my organisation can then follow up and hopefully get that school involved. So our website is www.2020boss.fya.org.au.
Cool. That sounds very exciting.
Thanks. I think so too.
I kind of wish I had that kind of thing when I was at school. Maybe I wouldn't be so scared of business.
Oh, absolutely. And luckily, that's what we're seeing. We launched the program about 2 weeks ago, and our feedback so far from many teachers has been they've been looking for something like this. So it's very exciting.
Because I think for maybe kids growing up in an environment where their parents have their own business or work in a small business, they kind of understand, but and they see that as a viable option. But yeah, my parents were doctors, and so, the idea of starting something totally new and having that innovation is,
absolutely
pretty foreign and exciting thing.
Yeah. One thing we do encourage with the young people is that a lot of the things that they actually do day to day are quite entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
And that they can actually channel that entrepreneurial activity they're doing already into an established business. And that once that the kind of the penny drops with young people about that, then they're ready and raring to go.
Awesome. Sounds very exciting. Good luck.
Thanks, Steph.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Yes, that is the end of It's Nothing Sacred for tonight, because look at the time, it's whipped gone by.
One minute to 11.
Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
And Steph, we're going to give you some homework now. You have to go back and thank the pre-record guests.
I will. Thank Georgie. Thank you, Georgie Swan, and thank you, Missy Adoniu, who we spoke to tonight about homework and social enterprise, $20 boss. And next week we're going to be back. I think we're going to talk about the Victorian budget, because
That's what we're going to try and do, because it's going to be on tomorrow night.
It's
launch tomorrow.
And there's nothing new in it because it's all been leaked.
We'll find out.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.